Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
It's time for the church to acknowledge that we have brothers and sisters who are gay.
LGBTs have to find a household of worship that reflects what your views are and what you believe.
A gay person who still wants to attend church after the way the church has treated the gay community, I'm telling you, they have more faith than I do. They have more faith than a lot of you.
What's not loving is to look someone in the eye when God says they are in jeopardy of an eternity in hell and merely wink and nod at their sin because you're afraid of being called names.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's talk politics. Politics. I want to talk politics. Politics. That's right. That was an homage to Olivia Newton-John. This is Wretched Radio. Let's go to Texas, shall we?
Over, Davy Crockett. There's a new Texas trailblazer in town. And his, it's, their name is James Tallarico. The man who bragged, our office is the first in the history of Texas to add pronouns to our official business cards.
I am running around like a crazy person today.
Spreading his white skin wherever he goes.
I am not a perfect Christian.
Prophetic voices like Jesus have helped me reckon with my own whiteness, my own masculinity, and it's a painful process.
Bearing the cross of white skin and unambiguous masculinity.
I was a big nerd in high school, never played sports. I probably shouldn't out myself like this. Sex is a spectrum, and oftentimes it can be very ambiguous.
God is both masculine and feminine and everything in between. God is non-binary.
Straight from Revelations in the woke James Bible.
I want us all to be aware of that. There are many more than two biological sexes. In fact, there are six.
And on the seventh day, he, it, they rested. But not James Tallarico. He built an ark big enough for all creatures.
To be able to write legislation that benefits not just the people, but also our animal friends.
Just like the Supreme Court said, one cow, one vote.
Now, existential, that we try to reduce our meat consumption. That's the right thing to do and the moral thing to do.
The 11th commandment, thou shalt not smoke brisket.
I am proud to say that our campaign has officially become a non-meat campaign.
So step aside, Sam Houston. Tallarico's bravery towers over Texas. He's fighting for all six genders and tens of thousands of species.
I guess we just have a different moral yardstick.
You know what insults Jesus?
Binary white people who eat barbecue and remember the Alamo?
There's only been one perfect Christian.
And they certainly weren't a carnivorous, Caucasian, binary homo sapien, according to the woke gospel of James.
They're going to call me a radical leftist, un-Texan, un-American.
And bar none, the weirdest candidate for Senate the Lone Star State has ever seen.
It's actually worse than that. Why? Because as James Tallarico from Texas goes to war against what we will call traditional American values, Western civilization, the Constitution on which our republic was founded. Oh, it's far worse than that. No, really, it is. He's at war with the Bible. His most recent unearthed statement, while being interviewed by a transgender podcast person.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I always think of myself as a Christian who hates Christianity,
yep.
Right? And like, I always get drawn back into it.
You're a Christian who hates Christianity. I'm a tennis player. No, I love tennis. I just hate those rackets, balls, and courts and nets. How do you hate the faith you profess to believe in? It's because he's rewriting the Christian faith. And that is what makes James Tallarico so dangerous. No, he's not going to put a chink into the wall that surrounds the church of Jesus Christ. He will continue to build his church. But James Tallarico, he's got a much bigger agenda than deconstructing politics. He's deconstructing the Bible. In this particular podcast, which was done in 2021, oh, how the internet can come back to haunt, with a transgender Latinx theologian who is a woman pretending to be a man. Inside of this particular interview, let's reinterpret Christianity through lenses of queer theory. critical race theory. Yep. Influenced ideas. Oh, I see. It's, wait a second. It's critical race theory influenced ideas. You got to keep up with the deconstructionist lingo, don't you? And what critics call Marxist or anarchist frameworks. Well, there you have it. That's what he is. And that is the playbook. And aren't we all getting a little weary from it? Let's just deconstruct everything. If it existed before, say, 10 minutes ago, it's got to go. It's bad. It's terrible. It's probably white. It's heterosexual. It's European. Let's get rid of it. That's what they're doing with everything. I mean, everything. In that particular interview, Mr. Tallarico praises the host and her book, Activist Theology, calling himself an inner fanboy. I don't know what the difference is between a non-inner fanboy and an inner fanboy, but he also described him, Jesus, as a socialist anarchist from Palestine. Yeah. No, he was from Israel. He took a census there. He was Jewish. He wasn't socialist. He wasn't an anarchist. He came to redeem sinners. Tallarico in this interview acknowledges his own whiteness and masculinity. we'll just move on from there. His own whiteness and masculinity is limiting his imagination about what's possible. They are so steeped in CRT, aren't they? They are so formed by critical race theory / social Marxism. This is how they view the world. Finally, he praised Jim Rigby in the, apparently as a minister of some sort, in the Christian anarchist tradition, and discusses concepts like being a true white trader. That word anarchist is rather interesting because in 1 Peter chapter 4, we are warned to not be that, to not be troublesome meddlers. In fact, there are some theologians who say that that word could actually mean revolutionaries. That is not what we're about. We change the world one soul at a time. We don't go about the business of tearing down. We go about the business of building up. We're the total opposite of everything that critical race theory, progressivism, and individuals like James Tallarico believe in. What makes him so dangerous is that no true Christian is going to fall for his ridiculous progressive woke theology. But it just allows those who hate Jesus Christ to continue hating him and to build up a Christianity, a sect of Christianity that isn't. This is why it's also not only dangerous for Christianity, it's dangerous for the nation. Let me see if I can find this. It was an article that was written by Tony Perkins. Yeah, found it right here. Tony Perkins, 22 years later, Samuel Huntington's warning about America has come true. 2004, a Harvard professor, Samuel Huntington, he wrote a book called Who Are We? And he warned that America was facing a crisis of identity. He argued that a nation cannot remain united without a common culture. Well, that's nothing new. There's some of us who have been talking about that a lot longer than that. We have to have a common history and a common understanding of itself. If you remove those things, a society fragments and it just becomes a nation of competing tribes and identities. Sound like James Tallarico? Sound like critical race theory? That's because it is. The author of this book, Who Are We?, pointed to the Anglo-Protestant creed as the core of America's unifying identity. That we are a nation that was shaped by Protestant Christianity, not Roman Catholic, but Protestant Christianity. And that was our shared identity. And it formed, well, virtually everything. Government, education, the arts, families, understanding of reality. Even if people weren't genuinely saved, that was the playbook for America. It shaped how we understood freedom and law and covenant and human dignity and self-government. Liberty is the battle cry that we used to shout. Even those who were not Orthodox Christians were influenced by the biblical worldview that permeated colonial America. And in the last several decades, it's been going on really longer than that. I would say at least 100 years. I think you go back to the beginning of the 1900s when you've got liberal theologians, especially coming out of Germany, that were watering down Protestantism. And now we've been seeing the fruit of their effort that's been going on for really well over a decade. But the question that needs to be asked is, why did our shared values disappear? That's the question we need to ask, because if we don't get that correct, that our answer will produce nothing but nothing. If we don't understand that if we want a culture that is formed by Christianity, there is only one way to have that. It's not by mandating. It's not by imposing. It's not by legislation. It's through regeneration. What do we need to do to defeat guys like James Tallarico and progressivism? Well, guess what? Jesus provided the answer. It shouldn't be a shocker. Make disciples. You got a nation full of Christians, you're going to have a nation that behaves Christianly. This is Wretched Radio.
Ask most Christians what they know about hermeneutics, and you'll likely get, "Herman who?" That sounds like somebody's uncle. Is that the guy that always comes and just stays quiet in the back of the small group? Hermeneutics is actually the art and science of interpreting scripture, and if you don't know how to do it rightly, you're going to read the Bible wrongly. Worse, you're actually going to be an easy target for every false teacher with a podcast and a proof text. Herman Who is basically a master's level education in how to read the Bible correctly, and it's condensed into something that you can actually finish. You'll learn how to interpret a 2,000-year-old book in a 21st century world without twisting it into something it was never meant to say. By the end of it, you'll never read scripture the same way again, and you'll never have the wool pulled over your eyes by someone who sounds confident but doesn't know what they're talking about. Herman Who, it is streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. Download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Trust the science. You've heard it a million times, usually right before someone uses it to shut a conversation down instead of open one up. But science is a tool, it's not a judge. And like any tool, it depends on who's holding it than what they already believe. Think about it. Two scientists can look at the exact same data and walk away with opposite conclusions because each one brought a different worldview to the table. Science also leans on a few things it can't prove: that the universe stays orderly and that our minds can actually grasp truth. Both make the most sense if a rational God made it all. You take him out of the picture and you're left trusting that chaos somehow adds up. That's where In the Beginning with Dr. Jason Lyle comes in. He's a PhD astrophysicist. He'll teach you to read the science headlines without getting played. New episodes of In the Beginning are dropped every single Wednesday on every single podcast platform in existence or at fortisplus.org.
Books of the Bible. Colossians was written by Paul to combat false teaching, which taught adherence to dietary laws and religious festivals, and claimed special knowledge received through visions. Paul argues that Christ's sacrifice and revelation are sufficient for salvation. When you are tempted to add to the gospel, remember, Jesus is sufficient, and you can trust in him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And another thing, this is Wretched Radio. What happens when a nation no longer has a common faith? What happens when a nation no longer has a shared sense of our history, our past, the foundations, what we share, what makes things work? Well, the answer is what we're currently seeing. An individual, he's a Harvard professor who wrote a book in 2004 titled, Who Are We? He warned back then, as were many others, hey, if you don't have a nation that has a common culture, a common history, a common understanding of itself, and maybe an attitude that this is a good place to live, all you're going to have is warring tribes. And that is precisely what we're seeing. And that's precisely the goal of progressivism, of critical race theory, of social Marxism, of the James Tallarico's and the Barack Obama's of the world. And it is clear, it is very successful. And the question, of course, that I think needs to be answered is, how are we going to respond to that? How do you fix it? How do you fix it? Because the problem with not having a Protestant, a shared Protestant worldview is that our institutions are hijacked, families redefined, genders reimagined, and get ready for this, our attitude toward Jewish people. Let me share with you, this is Tony Perkins writing about this particular book from Sam Huntington, Who We Are. He writes this, the consequences of a loss of historical memory extend beyond America's understanding of itself. They affect America's understanding of one of the most important sources of its cultural inheritance, and that is the Jewish people in the biblical story of Israel. As biblical literacy declines, Israel is increasingly viewed only through a contemporary political lens, ignoring its biblical and historical foundations. That's why there's a changing attitude toward Israel. They don't understand that Israel goes back to, well, not quite the beginning, but pretty close, 2200 BC, when the land was promised to Abraham, ultimately delivered to Moses and the Jewish people in the 15th century BC. And then ultimately, they were dispersed, and then they were returned to the land in the 20th century. Jerusalem is really the centerpiece of political, geopolitical conversations, and it has been for centuries. Why is that? It's because of what the Bible says about Israel, and as people no longer believe in the Bible, their attitude toward the nation of Israel and Judaism and Jewish people changes. Tony Perkins writes, it's difficult to ignore the connection between a society that no longer understands the Bible and one that increasingly misunderstands the Jewish people. Hence, in part, the rise of anti-Semitism and a weakening of support for Israel. Don't like that? How do you fix it? Well, here's an option. You can talk to people about why we need an ally in the Middle East. That's valid. But what happens when the media reports that the nation of Israel, true or false, are doing really atrocious things? Well, people are going to say, we don't need that kind of an ally. Why are we partnering with them? Why are we carrying their water? Isn't that basically what we're hearing these days? And people can be persuaded out of it. If they're no longer deemed to be a political ally worth that, worth billions of dollars, worth military excursions, then they're going to say, down with Israel. So I don't know that just persuading people that Israel is a really good political ally in the Middle East is going to win the day. It's certainly not going to win it for long. People need to understand Israel, God's promises to Abraham, and God's promises for the Jewish people eschatologically. Without that, you're going to see a disinterest in Israel, and then you will ultimately see, I think, antipathy toward Israel. And that's precisely what I think we're seeing these days. Why? Because we don't have a shared Protestant cultural identity. The question is, how do you get that back? because that's what it was at the founding, way more so than it is today. And so we'd have a tendency now to look back on that founding and go, we want that back. Well, how do you get that back? Well, everybody has to believe the same thing. And that's why our response to what we're seeing politically, socially, and with the James Tallarico's attacking us religiously, we need to evangelize people and have a culture that actually shares the same faith. It's always so helpful to me to shrink the argument. If you were stranded on a desert island with nine pagans, what would you do? What would you do? Now, especially not to make this too complex of an illustration, besides I'm making it up as I go. Let's just say you knew that once upon a time that island was there were people there and it was run very Christianly. And now you find yourself shipwrecked there. And all of the people who used to act like Christians, well, they're not because these are the ancestors. So the nine pagans, they used to have Christian ancestors. But now they're just nine pagans there and there you are. What are you going to do? Insist that you go back to the way that their ancestors used to do stuff? Good luck. Maybe you're going to say, hey, I think that my way is the best way to do the island. So you're going to have to submit to my dictates and demands. Good luck. Maybe you'll try to persuade some people to join your team and believe also that your values are as good. But we all know that's not going to last very long, is it? Because as soon as it becomes difficult or it becomes personal, they're going to jettison your values for something that is more self-serving. So to that effort, I say good luck. You're a Christian. You'd like the nation, the island rather, to not be acting so paganly. What option do you have left? You could evangelize them. They could get saved, and then they would join you in your understanding of the better way for things to be run. Hey, if that's the solution on an island, now let's bring it out to the macro. That's the solution for a nation. Furthermore, that's simply what the Bible says. We're not to be troublesome meddlers. We're not anarchists. It couldn't be more clear. We're to be evangelists. And if we aren't, all of the energy that we are putting in, I see it with all of the articles that are being written, all of the arguments that are being made, the books that are being published, how we make this nation Christian again. Really? Really? How we make this nation Christian again? If we can't answer that question, we can't answer any question. How do you make a nation Christian? All right, let's make your family, let's shrink it again. How do you make your family Christian again? Mom and dad, you're Christians, but you've got 16 kids. You're apparently homeschool family. How do you make the kids behave more Christian? Well, you know what you can do. You could, because you've got force and you've got might, you can strong arm them into obeying and submitting. Until they get big enough and then they leave the house. Then they don't. How do you make your family more Christianly? Well, you make them Christians, if you will. You preach the gospel to them. And then they naturally act more Christianly. I simply do not understand why we are burning so many calories even debating this subject. To me, if we don't like everything that we're seeing, let's get busy evangelizing. And to that, Ray Comfort said, amen. Speaking of James Tallarico, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, this was at the Republican Party of Texas's 2026 state convention in Houston. He said, James Tallarico is going to hell for blasphemy. Well, yeah, he's going to hell because of his sin of blasphemy and all of his other sins. That's true. He said this, it's James Tallarico who decided to bring the Bible into this election. And let me tell you, that's not a Bible I've ever read. Amen to that, sir. I've never seen so much blasphemy from anyone running for office. So why does it play? Why does he get away with it? It's because his audience aren't Christians. You don't want his audience to be duped by it? What can we do? We can actually do something. We can rail about James Tallarico, or we could evangelize his followers. They'll stop listening when they are born again. Back to Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. Let me tell you what, I'm going to pray for that guy, because when he loses the Senate race, if he campaigns against God, as he's been doing, he's going to hell for sure. That's what we're up against. That's the darkness. Not only that, but that's this man's eternity. And those people who are duped by him and who follow him and maybe even adopt some perverted form of Christianity, that's where they're going too. So now we've got another motivation for evangelizing the populace. They're going to hell. And remember, if judgment in the house of the Lord is difficult and painful, how much worse for those people who do not obey the gospel? It's time we answer the question, what are we going to do about this? And the answer is clear. Make disciples. This is Wretched Radio.